Hi, good vach and good yor, good everything. Hope your Yom Kippur went really well. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are entering the home stretch, and we're also entering Sukkot. I'm not going to be talking about Sukkot today, but there's certainly so much to talk about. I will be talking about Parshat Hazinu, the last regular Torah portion that we have. We have the Zot HaBracha, of course, but we do that on Sukkot Torah. And I'll be here before you know it. Time's going really fast. Hope everybody had an amazing, meaningful Yom Kippur and that they had an easy fast and that it went well. So before we start, once again, I want to mention Shir sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala about Menachem Mendel and all those who need a refuah for the coming year. May we only have good things this year, only, you know, amazing health, amazing prosperity, and be able to grow in our Yiddishkeit and closeness to Hashem. All right, so right now I'm going to share with you one of my favorite Divrei Torah that I've written. I believe it's going to be in my upcoming Sefer, and I'll try not to say it too fast. I get very excited by this Dvar. So the first two psukim in this week's parsha are as follows. Hazinu ha-shamayim v'adabera v'tishma ha-aretz imrifi. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. The second pasuk is, Yarov kamatar luchi tizakat amarti kisirim alei desa v'kirivim alei esem. My teaching will drip like rain, my words will flow like dew, and like storms on vegetation, and like raindrops on grass. There's so much packed into just these two psukim, but I will try and just begin to at least do us some justice. So many, many mefarshim talk about the first pasuk functioning as witnesses, the heaven and earth, or sky and land, the shemayim and the aretz, that they are witnesses for Hashem, for the deeds of man, and certainly for the deeds of Bnei Yisrael, and so to the words that Moshe is uttering at the end of his 40 years in Midbar, the end of his 120 years of his life. Second pasuk begins the crux of this speech, or the song that he's speaking. It speaks metaphorically of how teaching and instruction yield growth and blessing. Yet, it's very interesting that it has the word se'irim here, translated often as storms or storm winds. Now, this itself, as a choice of word, is confusing, and it seems to be the only time that this root is used in this construct in Chumash, but the spelling is more interesting. Sa'ar, meaning a storm, is often written with a samech, although we do see, I believe on certain occasions, I believe in Tehillim, you know, with a samech, but more conventionally it's written with a samech. And there are numerous times that we do see a samech and a sin transposed. Default actually often is the sin. So overall, the fact that se'irim can be spelled, you know, in this se'arim, rather, as storms or storm winds spelled with a sin rather than a samech, even though it's less common, is not that surprising because we do often see them exchanged, and we're not going to get right now into the differences or similarities between a sin and a samech. But what is interesting is that if you translate it instead as se'irim, it actually means goats. So se'irim can mean storm or storm winds, but it can also mean goats with this spelling. In fact, it's the exact spelling that's used in Parshat Achrayimot with regard to the two goats brought on Yom Kippur. So this Dvar, even though we just passed Yom Kippur yesterday, ties in very much actually to the concept of Yom Kippur, and it's no coincidence that Ha'azinu always falls right around Yom Kippur. There's a lot that's packed into there. And the Minchat Shai specifically notes that the spelling of Se'irim can mean both words. Now, before going any further with figuring out why the Torah chooses to use a word that can also mean goats, it must be first analyzed where there are two goats for the Yom Kippur service. We just hopefully read about them in our Machzor as part of our Musaf Davening. Now, these goats are initially mentioned as Se'irei Izim, which is a seemingly redundant term. However, these two words symbolize the subtle yet intense polarity of the Yom Kippur service. The two goats selected for the service must be perfectly identical, yet their fates are anything but the same. One of the goats is sent to Azazel, which effectively is being thrown off a cliff, although it has other meanings as well. Azazel is a really strange word with no obvious basic meaning, and is often translated as wilderness or barrenness or even hell in a generic sense. Yet Azazel can be broken into two words, Az and Azal, or Oz and Azal. Ayin Zayin can either mean goat, Az, or it can mean Oz, strength, Ayin Zayin, right? It's two similar pronunciations with very different meanings. Azal means to go away. Thus, the words Azal, in essence, either means the goat that goes away or the strength that goes away. We'll get back to this. So we'll start with the goat that goes away. That's the goat that's going to Azazel. And the ideas behind this are both subtle and intense. The goat is literally going away, right? As the Kohen Gadol is finishing up the service, the goat is being sent away. It is being atoning for Klal Yisrael sins, and there's a red ribbon corresponding to it, which will turn white when it fulfills its purpose. So that's going away. But symbolically, what does it represent? It represents the oz that's azal, the strength that's going away. What strength? The strength of the Yetzer Hara, right? The strength of the Averis. There's not only one strength. There are two azim. The strength of our sins and the strength of us as a nation, the strengths that we want. We want the bad strengths to go away. We want the strength of our Averis to go away and be sent away. But we want our strength to stay in this place. We want our strength to become more solidified. Let the bad strength, the strength of the Yetzer Hara, the strength of the negative impulses, tendencies, our past, we want that to go away so that all we are left with is the good strength. Now, the word Azazel actually has the numerical value of 115, which is equal to Chazak, which means strength. Now, our sins have a certain strength that, you know, are hopefully being diminished or virtually, you know, gone hopefully through the goat being sent to Azazel. And correspondingly, that Chizak, that strength, can be added and used to supplement the second goat, which is brought as an offering to atone, and then thereby strengthen our zchuyos, our merits. So the strength goes away from the averus and is used to bolster the strength of our zchuyos, our merits. This strength now adds to the kedusha of Bnei Yisrael, and thus has undergone a metamorphosis by which it has been elevated. Something actually I just interestingly heard from somebody that that's another way in which we say Yom Kippurim. It's like Purim, which is again a whole other thing to get into. But there is a concept of Nehafach here as well that I apologize, I don't remember the Rav who said it, but I just literally heard it 2 days ago, that you actually are turning things. With teshuva, you can turn an Avera into a mitzvah. You can overturn the din from a negative decree to a positive decree. So it's interesting. But getting back to this, we have this metamorphosis where our sins have now been elevated. And this process of elevation is known as Aliyah, Ayin Lamed Yud Hey, which is also numerically equal to the same as Chazak, the same as Azel, that's right, 115. Therefore, now we see why the goats are referred to as Si'iri Ezim, because they are two different strengths. They're the Si'irim of Ezim, two different strengths, and Ez 1, Ez 2, right? The strength of the positive, strength of the negative, what is going to happen, hopefully only the good, right? We can work to strengthen our merits. Now, returning to our parsha, we look at the second pasuk, right? My teaching will drip like rain, my word will flow like dew, like storms on vegetation, and like raindrops on grass. Kasi'irim aledesha can actually be translated now, instead of raindrops or storms upon grass, it can be goats upon grass or vegetation, which are first, you know, I mean, they do eat grass, but it makes no sense. Yet, you may notice in the Torah that the words aledesha are actually hyphenated. Now, why is this so? Because it is one unit, one act, onto the grass. Right? So Ale Desha could mean the leaves or blades of grass, or it could mean upon the grass. Now, the phrase Ale Desha, on the grass or upon the grass, is numerically equal to 415, which corresponds to Rakla Azazel, only to Azazel. This means that Kapara, atonement, which is akin to the blessing of rain, the refreshing renewal of the blessing of rain, will come and nourish this Desha, which is a type of light vegetation that does not require so much rain to flourish. Now, just as the Desha is not enough and needs to be supplemented with a little bit of rain, so too the Azazel, in a certain sense, must be supplemented with the second goat offering. The Ibn Ezra explains that Esev, Ayin Sin Bet, Esev, which is thick grass or heavy vegetation, is more chazak, which is the word he uses, right, than Desha. It requires harsher and greater quantities of rain in order to make it grow. This type of rain is known as the Revivim, which literally means multitude. The blessing of rain comes in such a rivava, multitude, that it is yoter chazak, more strength, more strong, and that it not only has more strength, but it adds more strength in of itself. There's a power and force to those heavy rains. And that is why it says Ale Esev, which is also hyphenated. The numerical value of this phrase, Ale Esev, plus Ale Desha, Ale Esev, but with the thicker grasses, is equal to 482, which is equal to Din Chataot, the judgment of sins. The second goat, the Seir, parallels the second rain, the Seirah, this heavy storm, and is the true sin offering. Because although we rely on the Azazel to accomplish its mission as part of the Yom Kippur service, ultimately that's just removing the barrier. Ultimately, we want to transform our Averos into Zechuyos, and we want to bolster and strengthen our merits. And that's what we want to focus on. We want to focus on the Kapara, the sin offering, that's actually brought and sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because it not only washes away our sins, but it elevates us to a higher level of Kedusha as a nation. Now, the Psukim in Acharei Mot, upon determining the goat's fates, use the phrase, Asher Allah Allah of Hagaral, that upon which the lot falls. The words Allah Allah, upon which it falls, have the same numerical value as Yoreh, which is an earlier or later type of rain. Both goats, right, the one to Azazel, which gets rid of our Averus, in a sense, and the other one, which helps atone and strengthen our merits, both alleviate our sins to some degree, but hopefully we'll be blessed with more than just light rain. We don't just want light blessing, right? We want a lot of blessing. We want Revivim, in a sense. The words Ale Esev, the blades of grass, which, again, that's the thicker vegetation. It's equal to Umalkosh, right? That's the opposite. That's thicker rains. That's a heavier rain. Malkosh are the heavier, more nourishing rains. So interesting enough that Yoreh is often paired with Malkosh, as Desha is paired with Esev, and also, as a side note, Matar is usually paired with Tau or Geshem, which is a whole other conversation. Now, the Vav that's attached in the words Umalkosh teaches us something. It's not just Ale Esev. These heavy vegetations are not just numerically equal to Malkosh, but Umalkosh. What's this and? It indicates that Yoreh is a prerequisite for Malkosh. The light rain is a prerequisite for the heavy rain. First comes the light rain, which wets the ground and prepares it for the heavier, more penetrating rain. So too, if we do not dispense of our sins and help cleanse away this barrier, we cannot hope to grow properly in our holiness. Right? This blessing comes not only when we cast away our sins, but when we come together like a multitude, so that we can accept the multitude of blessings. When does it happen? When we say in our prayers, we say, Aguda Achas, we want to be like one unified band. We want to be a multitude. Kerevivim, these heavy rains, we want them to penetrate, so we need to be Revivim. We need to be like a multitude that's all together as one collective. When all of us are unified together, our sins as a nation become not only eliminated, but transformed into mitzvot, an intense, amazing, heartfelt blessing. This is why the gematria, perhaps, of Revivim, meaning multitude, is equal to Seder, order. For only when we are organized and we are together solidly as one Jewish people can we truly be forgiven and have that intense level of rachamim and bracha from Hashem to elevate us to that higher madrega, that higher level that we should all be able to reach. May it be our will that we unify ourselves to bring Mashiach in order to truly be unified again, once again, as a nation. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.